Hi, this is Mark Margolis. I played Tio on Breaking Bad. And if you don't start listening to Mr. Media, I'm going to have to ding my bell.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to heavy metal guitarist Xander Demas. Stick around. He's going to make that guitar of his scream. And maybe me, too. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Give it a test drive today at stitcher.com/mrmedia, Mr. Media. I love this free radio app, and I think you will, too. stitcher.com/mrmedia. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of Savatage fans who will wait for hours in the rain after today's show just so that I'll sign their LPs for no reason other than my name is in the acknowledgement section in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I hope he takes this as a compliment, but Xander Demas' guitar stylings remind me of the 1980s. In that era, I was a newspaper rock critic, listening to hour upon hour of heavy metal guitar solos and Hair Nation bands, and I liked it. So hearing his work took me back to what was, for me, a simpler time of queuing up a record album or a cassette and sitting back with nothing better to do than listen to some Wango Tango grooves and blazing hot licks. And yes, we actually talked like that back then. Those were fun days when I didn't need to multitask or always use my time constructively. So I appreciate a good turn down memory lane. But this young guy, Xander Demas, is not a nostalgia act. He's a working musician, straight out of Pittsburgh, playing in not one, but three different bands. The Xander Demas Band, Into the Arena, and Sabbath Judas Sabbath. Okay, the last one is a Black Sabbath Judas Priest cover band, so maybe there is a little nostalgia at work here, but you get the idea. This guy works. I invited Xander to join us tonight to play a few tunes and talk about life as a working musician at the start of the 21st century. Xander Demas, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you, Mr. Media. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you here. Xander, you're in three bands. For God's sake, why?
Well, you know what? In Pittsburgh, it just kind of seems like it always bodes a lot better for us if you stay busier. But I have the good fortune of being in my own band, just simply called the Xander Demas Band, which is like the primary focus of what I do. And that focuses on original music and, you know, some covers, but stuff that most people wouldn't do. You know, like we'll do, you know, some really crazy obscure stuff like Dream Theater and things like that. We actually are messing around with a Savatage song, actually, albeit not a very, well, I guess a popular one, but not a very technical one. The one we're messing with is Believe, which is a great Savatage tune.
Okay.
But the other bands I'm in, Into the Arena, actually, we just played our very last show ever on Saturday.
Oh.
So now that is, now your information is just slightly out of date by about 2 days, 3 days. But the band that basically formed after that was called Jukebox, and we're kind of a variety band.
Okay.
The cool thing is, though, we get to get out there, the crowds are good and stuff like that. And then, yes, the other one is Sabbath, Judas Sabbath with James Rivera, and then some very, you know, some various musicians up here in Pittsburgh. Everybody's very dedicated and kind of into that because when we do it, we kind of go all out. You know, it's really like, you know, Sabbath and Judas Priest, you know, on one stage. And the cool thing is, my other guitar player, Bill Staley, he's definitely like a shredder kind of guy. So we have a good time because we get to play cool songs like Painkiller and things like that.
Is this what it takes? I mean, in 2012 to be a working musician, you just got to be available to do all kinds of gigs.
Yeah, I believe it does. I mean, just ask Ripper Owens that. I mean, he's not in just one band; he's in like five. You know, I mean, and he's very much of a working class type of musician. I mean, he obviously made it big with being Judas Priest for a while, but I mean, he's doing like all kinds of stuff. I mean, anything that'll I guess keep him working. You know, and where I'm concerned, I mean, that's kind of like where I am too. I'd like to be able to stay active and. I just don't want to sit there and stagnate,
So, the newer band is Jukebox. Is that what you said?
Jukebox. Yeah.
Okay. And what would you play in Jukebox that you wouldn't play? I don't know, with, Sabbath, Judas Sabbath.
Yeah. Sabbath, Judas Sabbath is going to be like, obviously Sabbath and Priest. Jukebox is definitely variety. And it's covers from like the '80s all the way to today. And some things, of course, I don't like. I mean, I don't like playing Brick House, But
don't like playing Brick House.
No, I really don't.
Oh, come on.
Sometimes it's kind of cool to at least know that you can do it. When you're a one band and you're playing you're doing like technical licks, and then all you have to worry about in Brick House is you just do that over and over again. You can just kind of sit there and say, "Yeah, I'm getting paid for this."
Can I say there are a lot worse songs that you could have to play than Brick House?
I agree.
The thing about Brick House, say what you will about it, but you always know people are going to get up and dance, and they're going to be shaking their heads to that. It's not classic Rat or anything like that, but
right. But that's all right. You know what I mean? So. That's that, and we do it. I do that because it keeps me active. That's the whole point.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. I mean, how much more often could the band Jukebox work than say Sabbath, Judas Sabbath, or the Xander Demas band?
Well, I mean, with XDB, basically we work when we can, if we get like opening gigs and stuff like that. But we're booked on a tour next year.
Oh, cool.
We're kind of doing our own thing, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, four cities, 4 days. But at least we're getting out there. We're getting some experience with it. But then Sabbath, Judas Sabbath, I mean, since that's run by James Rivera, James Rivera is in Hellstar. He's in, he has other chapters of SJS, and he's a busy guy too. So then with Jukebox, it basically, it would normally be like an every weekend type of thing. And then, but the national stuff kind of takes a priority at this point.
So you like to work. Do you have to do any other – I mean, are you like fixing cars or anything on the side? Are you musician?
Oh, no. I'm a software architect by trade.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's your day job?
That's my day job.
Wow.
And the cool thing is I'm 100% remote, so I can do it from anywhere. So if I have to – if I actually would go on a tour somewhere and I say, well, this tour I'm not going to make a whole lot of money, I have my real job, as people would say, so it's kind of cool.
So you're a software guy. Why I'm going to use another 80s term. Why even use an axe? I mean, why not just program it with the software and you can just play from home and tell the guys they can go out on the road and you'll just contribute from home?
Oh, no. You got to get up there. You got to, I don't have the long hair to whip around anymore, but you have to get up on stage.
So you used to have the long hair?
Oh, my hair, down to here, easily.
I'm sorry, down to where?
Down to at least where the guitar is. And I wear my guitar at an uncool height, and I don't care. I have to, because that's just the style of guitar I play. I can't play it all the way down here like Slash can and still make music out of it. I have to wear it up a little bit higher.
Okay, now I was going to ask you about guitars in a minute, but let's jump to it now. Explain this to me. And I've got my 16-year-old daughter is becoming a pretty decent guitar player, so I'm always looking for information. But tell me why you have to play it up here as opposed to down here. Is that just you physically, or is that the way you make the music?
Well, it's what happens is when you start learning a certain type of guitar playing, you tend to sit down a lot. You're not going to sit there and stand all the time, because you're not playing, like a. I mean, and it's no disrespect to that riff. It's a great riff.
Slash.
Of course, yeah. But. The thing is, if you're going to play like shred stuff or like more technical stuff, your hand has to kind of be at a certain angle, I can't do that all the way down here. It just my wrists will not – they won't bend that way.
Okay.
You know?
Well, you know, we were watching maybe you saw this, or maybe you can tell me about this. We were watching the 12 – what was it called? The 12-12-12 concert, the Sandy Hurricane Sandy relief concert.
Yes.
That was about a week or so ago as we record this, and The Who and Springsteen, right, and everybody's out there. And watching I've grown in my appreciation of Pete Townsend over the years, for having written the music that's been so enduring, but also the way he played. But we were watching him, and I said to my daughter, look at him. He's got – I'm going to bring my thumb in. So let's see. He's got his thumb playing over the top.
Right.
While his fingers – and now, is that – does he just have gigantic hands?
Yeah, some guitar players do. Like Alan Holdsworth and Steve Vai have gargantuan hands. Paul Gilbert from Racer X and Mr. Big. I mean, huge, huge hands. Really? Me, my hands aren't so big, you know. They spread out far, you know, so I can do a lot of the goofy stuff I do. But I also have to compensate for that, you know, like physically. So in this case, obviously, it's a 7-string guitar too. So playing over the neck, you know. I could do it like on certain chords, but not a whole bunch of them. Like I know there's some people that can actually use their thumb and, you know, on a 6-string guitar and actually do all the chords, like a bunch of chords that way.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really paid that much. You know, I'm paying more attention now because she plays and is learning. And I saw that and went, whoa, wait a minute. Look at that thumb. I mean, that thumb was way over the bridge, or the neck, you know.
The neck, yeah.
The neck. And I went, what the, you know, that just looked crazy. And she said he's just got really big hands. And I thought.
Yeah, Pete Townsend's a big guy.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well, so that leads me to the other question I wanted to ask you is about the guitars themselves. And guitarists know the answer to this, and guitarists, if they're watching and listening to this interview, they're just going to think I'm a total jackass asking this. But I don't know, so I'm going to ask. What is the difference from one guitar to another? What do you look for in a guitar that you can shred with and play, you know, kind of metal chords that somebody who's playing a quieter style does not need?
Well, that's a great question because, I mean, luckily for us, you know, guitars do come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and stuff. In this case, you know, this guitar has very loud EMG pickups or active pickups. So they have a nice smooth tone, but they're very, you know, high output. I also like gigantic frets. Like the fret wire I use is really big because I have a light touch. So when I play fast, I don't want to have to dig in to the, you know, to the string or the fretboard. Or anything like that. I mean, just basically mean like there's less resistance, you know. And if you're gonna play, you know, rock and stuff like that, you want something that you can play that doesn't play you. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I've talked to so many blues guitar players that play like really crappy action and guitars that are kind of beat up and don't play that well because they want to try and strangle those notes out of them because that's what the blues men did or whatever. And that's cool, but I'm just not that kind of a player. You know, like my string gauges and all that kind of stuff are like, it's a lighter gauge because I'm a big sissy. I don't have the big hands to, you know, to really, you know, beat the crap out of the strings like some people do. You know, so with me, it's more about delivery as opposed to like, you know, the rock and roll thing, I guess, you know, or the blues thing or whatever.
So how long have you been playing guitar?
30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I'm in my 30th year.
And can you still learn from other guitarists?
Oh, God, yeah. Every single time you pick it up. And the great thing is I'm kind of like a sponge a little bit. Like if I get on YouTube and I start listening to like a certain player, I notice that if I go down to my studio or if I'm in my, you know, whatever band I'm playing with, I'll tend to pick up something that they do a lot more. And then what happens is if it sounds cool, like, and if it's comfortable, most of all at my age and, you know, in my experience, if it's comfortable to play, then I just start adding, you know, your brain just kind of starts adding that to your arsenal of licks that you can do, you know.
So can you learn from hearing someone else play then?
Okay. Yes.
That was one of the things I remember. It's probably been 2 years now. I remember my daughter came home from a guitar lesson one day. And we were not very impressed with this teacher, I want to say. I don't want to say who it is. But we're not very impressed with the teacher. And it just didn't seem to be going well. But then one day she comes home and she said, let me play for you this thing that I learned today in guitar. And I said, okay. So she starts playing. And I'm like, that's Stairway to Heaven. And I was like, really? And she said, oh, is that what it's called? Had never heard the song before, but the guitar teacher taught her enough that she could pick it up and just came home a half an hour later and played it. Had never heard the song on the radio. I don't know. these kids today, right?
Well, I mean, that's good though, because I mean, she has a developed ear. I mean, if you can develop your ear, you can always, especially where chords are concerned, but like where rock's concerned, I mean, there's only so much that can be done, mm-hmm. you know, in that context. So I don't think that you really want. I mean, granted, there's probably still so many great songs that haven't been written yet, you know, but the thing is where, you know, where rock is concerned, and if you're listening to just, you know, stuff on the radio, if I was listening to, you know, like Dokken or something like that from the 80s, I mean, it didn't take me long to pick up, you know, like. Like just playing that riff, like when I heard it, I'm like, oh, I think that's these notes, and I picked it up and I just got the phrasing right. I'm like, yeah, I nailed that in 5 seconds. You know, that's a classic riff. It's a classic 80s metal riff.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking, I don't have a lighter, but here, I'll next time you do that, I'll turn on my phone.
Okay, so maybe you'd prefer Gutter Ballet.
Gutter.
Yeah.
I think I like the Dokken. I like the Dokken. I you know, I'm getting older, but I'm not that old. I did spend an awful lot of time around Savatage when they were starting out. I've heard everything. Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you more about guitars, but I sure. also know that since you just happen to be standing there with your guitar pressed against your chest, like your baby, maybe you would like to play something for us. And I'd like to just kind of duck out and let you riff for a little bit. Is that all right?
Yeah, I'll do some riffing.
All right. I'm going to turn off my mic and have at it, my friend.
All right, cool. Seven string wanking.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
So if we could get into your head, is that what we would hear during the day? Is that what you're hearing all day?
It's a good question. Believe it or not, I don't listen to much metal right now. It's only when I pick up the guitar.
I just mean inside your head, not what you're listening to. But
yeah, you pretty much would. That's about what you'd hear.
Okay.
That's a good way to put it.
Very, very cool. Was it hard to learn to improv like that and just start playing, or is it just, you know?
Yes. Yeah, what you have to do is you have to build up your you kind of have to build up your, I don't know, I want to say your licks, but you have to kind of build up stuff that becomes comfortable to you. And when you build that up, and you can start depending on who you listen to. Like, for example, I did grow up listening to Savatage and a lot of the 80s bands, and you know, and Stryper and all these guys with, you know, cool guitar harmonies, and you know, Racer X and those types of bands. And even though some of that stuff was so articulate and technical, I always noticed live sometimes they never would, you know, do the same exact thing. But I never was that more apparent when I started listening to more the instrumental stuff. And like even the jazz guys who basically blew one guitar solo over, you know, over some chords in the studio and it stuck, you know, and they don't play like that live just because maybe the vibe's not there, you know. So I think just as you become, you know, a mature guitar player or whatever, I think that what happens is you do end up finding you find a comfort level with you know, with what you can improv and stuff, especially if somebody just says, here, go into a studio and do this, you know, do this track for me. And you might say, I'm not feeling it. You might have to unplug for a couple minutes, you know, just, and I mean unplug your brain, you know, right. Don't think about doing a solo, just kind of let it happen.
So who would be kind of the virtuosos for you? I mean, you know, are we talking like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Stevie Vai, someone else named Stevie, or, I mean, Yngwie Malmsteen?
Yeah, I mean, they were the early ones. I mean, Steve Vai, Yngwie were definitely early. I'd say earlier than that was probably Eddie Van Halen and Neil Schon from Journey and Tom Scholz from Boston. I am definitely more of like a melodic player. I really like, you know, despite some of the thrashier, heavy stuff I might do, the like power metal and all that stuff, I mean, I have a very deep, deep love and respect for, like, the AOR stuff from the 70s and 80s, you know, like all the album arena-oriented stuff, you know, the arena rock and,
right.
You know, I mean, I mean, to me, I mean, this riff here. That goes a much farther way with me than like all the Testament thrash and all that kind of stuff does, you know. But I mean, because it's just closer to the heart, you know, where I started. But as time went on, the virtuosos for me were like Jason Becker, Paul Gilbert, Vinnie Moore, Tony McAlpine, like the late 80s, early 90s. And then, you know, the 90s guitar solos weren't cool anymore, you know. So the thing I did was I just kept doing that. I didn't, you know, I wasn't trying to make it. I was just enjoying what I was doing. I was just enjoying playing. Then sometime in the early 2000s, it kind of came back again. You know, like that type of guitar playing came back. And then certain bands like Dragon Force, I mean, with, you know, crazy guitar solos, they were all of a sudden popular because of Guitar Hero and stuff. And now everybody was interested. And if you could play like that, people were like, you know, what, I guess he didn't listen to Nirvana. In you know what I mean? But anyway, that's, you know, that's kind of where I've come from. Nowadays, the virtuosos, you know, are like Guthrie Govan, who I think is the best guitar player on the planet. You know, just phenomenal player. And you know, if I could play like him, I don't even know what I would do. I mean, it's
you wouldn't be wasting your time talking to me, I suspect. That's
no, I would still do that. I don't consider this wasting time. I consider it's time well spent.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So tell us a little bit about the Xander Demas Band. You've got an EP out, right? Guitar.
No, I have a full length out.
It is a full length. Okay. Yeah. Guitar-cadia.
Guitar-cadia.
Okay.
Yep.
What is different about your original music than everyone else is playing? What stands out for somebody who hasn't heard it yet?
Okay, that's a good question. That album in particular was just a whole bunch of like schizophrenic ideas that I just kind of put down. Some songs are really old on there. Some songs were written for the album. But the thing that's the most important about it, I think, is there's a decent sense of melody in there. I write hooks. I like to write hooky stuff. Again, it goes back to the Boston and Journey stuff, you know, and those types of bands. That'll always stick with me no matter what kind of stuff I do with that band. But they might be a little bit more power metal oriented, you know what I mean? They might be a little bit more speed metal or hard rock or whatever. But like songs like Right Angles and White Knuckle Driving and Nothing Major, I mean, those songs, you could pull the wankery out of them and put words to them if you wanted to.
Pull the wankery out of them.
Yes, I know. I've said that a couple times.
There's a good line.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like...
Oops.
I don't play it on the 7th string, so I just really screwed that up. Like that line right there is a recurring theme throughout the entire song. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that I've had people email me on Facebook and other places and said, you know, damn you bastard, that song stuck in my head. You know, because that's what it is to write a hook.
Right.
You know, you get that in there. So I don't just sit there and like have, you know, a drummer or, you know, a bass player go like that, and then just me going like, over that kind of beat, which some instrumental albums come out like that. And I think that was sort of like a, you know, a kind of like baseline behavior for some of that writing. I wanted to write poppier stuff, you know what I mean? So I wanted to write stuff that people where it would get stuck in their head. You know what I mean? That was the goal.
Well, and this is what I want to ask you about. So when you do an album these days, did you distribute this yourself?
Yeah, the first 6 months, and then I got signed in August of 2012.
So what is the goal of doing an album these days? Is it to make money? Is it to press the case for live performance? Because it seems like that's where the money is these days.
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it'd be great to make money because, like, for example, a dollar from my album sales, every dollar goes to the ASPCA, for example, you know, animal charity. And but you know that it's cool in that right, because like I said, I make a living as a software guy, and you know that's my normal thing. But it's also vocation versus occupation. The software thing pays the bills. You know, somebody says, so what do you do? I say, oh, I'm a software architect. No, what do you do? I'm a guitar player. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like what defines you? No, you know, the software thing, just I happen to be good at it. You know, that's what I do. But then the guitar thing is what I want to do. And but the goal of doing an album, I mean, let's be realistic. you don't have just the radio or just the radio and MTV pushing your product anymore. You can do whatever you have so many tools at your fingertips, right. You know? So I think the goal kind of speaks for itself, you know, get the product out there.
Well, why don't we, let's take advantage of you still being strapped to that guitar. Get you to play something else, would entertain you. We'd all be delighted to just sit back and watch a few minutes, and I'll turn my microphone off and let you go.
All right, cool.
Beautiful. I mean,
that
really.
Sense.
I enjoyed every minute of it. As a matter of fact, I was thinking that, you know, folks that are – there's two ways to capture Mr. Media. You can watch the video or you can listen to the audio. Folks, if you're listening to this as audio, it's very entertaining. But let me tell you, you got to go back and watch the video because the quality that we're capturing is enough. You can actually see Xander's fretwork and, you know, his fingers flying up and down the neck of that guitar. It's,
well, then I'm doing it wrong. I should be, like, doing it this way, right?
So yeah. No one can see. No, it's a beautiful thing. Thank you. It's a, you know, not only does it sound good, but it's very cool to watch.
Cool. Thank you.
So we appreciate that. So, well, let's kind of wrap up with this. Tell me, 5 years have passed from now. Mm-hmm. And you're looking back, putting aside the software career, what would you like to have happened in these coming 5 years for your music career?
Well, let's see. I'd like Neil Sean to call me up and just say, dude, I've had enough of Journey. You want to step in? And I'll be like, yeah, I'll be there. You know, can I play a 7-string? And he'd say, F off, and you have to bring a 6-string, and don't bring such high-gain amps, but whatever. You know, that would be kind of cool. I want to do another album, and I'm looking forward to the next album because I got to say, with Guitarcadia, it was a little bit challenging because I knew I wanted to have a couple vocal tunes on there, but I knew it was going to be mostly instrumental because as a solo artist, it's not like I'm like a singer-songwriter type. I'm definitely like a guitar player, like a rock player, so I was going to put out an album like that anyway, regardless. My band now actually has a full-time vocalist, so... We actually have it's a different direction now, so the music is going in a different direction. So I'm looking forward to that. And I would have liked to have known that knock on wood or whatever, Guitarcadia got some really good reviews overseas and, you know, in the States and stuff, and I was very happy about that. I just hope that, you know, I can carry that same energy to the next CD because I don't think I was getting reviews for, like, you know, awesome playing. I think a lot of people were complimenting the songs. And that was the cool thing with me. Like, people just, they really dug the songs. They said, hey, I listened to the song and it got stuck in my head. Or, you know, this guy needs to be scoring movies or something like that, which is basically my musical passion. Like, I love Hans Zimmer and Steve Jablonski and Howard Shore and all those guys that do the big epic scores for the big blockbusters, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll, like, when I'm writing melodies, I'll kind of lift one or two out of there, out of something like, you know, but not blatant, just an idea. You know what I mean? And but it's flattering, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And would you like to be at a point if it's 5 years from now and we're having this conversation where you say, you know, I was able to actually push the software aside and make a living with it? Yeah.
Yeah, that would be amazing to be able to do that because I know that the software thing would be something I'd always be able to fall back on. You know, I mean, I would always stay current with what I was doing. And I probably could kick it aside, but it would be nice if it was part-time, you know, as opposed to a full-time gig.
That's the way I feel about flipping burgers. I know I can always fall back on it.
Right.
Been telling my wife that for 25 years. Look, dear, if this writing thing, if this Mr. Media thing doesn't work out, I can always flip burgers.
Nice.
She said, you know, you keep saying that, but I haven't actually seen you flip a burger, so we don't know if that really is a fallback position.
That's okay.
So anyway, folks, listen. You can find Xander Demas's album, Guitarcadia, at great online retailers, or you can order it right now at a great price right here at MrMedia.com. If you're watching the video, down below the video, down there somewhere, okay, right around there, you'll see an image for the album. You can just click on it. It'll take you right to Amazon. Thank you. And you can order it immediately. It'll be a good price, and get it, download it, or have it sent to you, whatever you like. You've got a website. I believe it is xanderdemos.com.
Yep.
It's xanderdemos.com.
Right.
You're on what? Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the whole thing?
I'm on all of them, yeah. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. I'm even on MySpace still, but Facebook is where, you know, most of the, you know, the stuff's generated from. I've got like almost 20,000 followers on Twitter, and I mean, a lot of them are pretty cool. You know, a lot of them are, you know, if I put something out there, like, you know, you can blend the two social networks together and stuff. You can, you know, there's like anytime a concert announcement goes out, there's a lot of people that retweet it, and I'm very appreciative of everybody that supports what I'm doing and stuff. So
very nice. Well, you'll have to point out to them that yeah. sorry. There's that cold rearing its head. Xander, a lot of fun to have you here. I so appreciate you playing the guitar for us. And
no, my pleasure.
Taking us out. If you want to play something and take us out, I'll say goodbye now, and we'll let you go. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Media. All right. Horns.
Way to go. You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com, or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, the TechCrunch headlines, and the Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.